preacher sees us day. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Born blessed morning, praise rejoice. In light of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise ye, oh, praise ye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Others take your part. Oh, praise ye, hallelujah. Leave all pain and sorrow bear. Praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise ye, oh, praise ye, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise ye, hallelujah. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise ye, oh, praise ye, hallelujah. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us together to come and praise you and worship you. Bless us, Lord, with your presence today so that we can worship you in truth and in spirit. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection. And as we read in your word, Lord, better is one day in God's presence than 1,000 days elsewhere. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come in this place with freedom to worship. Bless us with your presence and touch those who need your touch today, especially those who are suffering from sicknesses. Heal them, Lord, with your loving touch. Comfort those who are in distress and strengthen those who are weak. Bless us with your Holy Spirit that we will be empowered as we go from this place to be more powerful witnesses for you. Protect us, Lord, when we are worried, and work in us through us when we wait for you. Thank you for sending your Spirit to work in our life and through us. May the services of word and communion and praises we do today bring honor and glory to your name and glorify your kingdom on this earth and in our lives through your Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's our fellowship time now. If you are able, please rise up and greet each other in Christian love. Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
As we take our seats, the next hymn is hymn number 42 in this red hymnal. As we take our seats, please turn to 42. If you are able, stand for hymn Higher Ground.
Ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
remain standing for the responsive reading, which is Psalm 15.
O Lord, who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill?
The one who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from the heart.
Who does not slander with the tongue and does no evil to a friend, nor takes up a reproach against a neighbor?
In whose eyes a reproach is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord?
Who does not put out money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent?
The one who does these things shall never be moved.
It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is our prayer time now as we come before the Lord as a church family to share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive. And at the same time, we lift those of the burdens and concerns that we have together as a church family and present it to the throne of grace of God, that God will answer our prayers according to His will and according to His time, and that is our faith. So as we come together, let us share our prayers of concerns and blessings. Some of them are listed on the last page of the bulletin, if you can turn to the back with me. Please use this as a prayer list for your daily prayers. Post this on your refrigerator or your study desk or wherever you have your prayer time. Please use this and remember these people and items in your prayers. A couple of things that we wanted to note from this list. Martha Barwa, she's waiting for her treatment for chemo, has not set a date yet. I talked to her yesterday. She had the port built put in, but they have not given her a date. So please pray that God will give her the guidance to start her treatment. She's holding up really well, but she needs a lot of prayer as she starts this chemo treatment. My mother is stable. She's doing a little better. Continue to keep her in our prayers. And Miss Lou had not come today to church, but James is here today. But did she have a eye surgery or something?
Everything was good.
Everything was good. Okay, thank God for that. And Kathy Wigley and Bob are not here today, and they were supposed to be. Kathy had a respiratory infection, and she texted that she won't be here today. Please keep both Bob and Kathy in our prayers. I'm glad that Anna joined us for worship today. Thanks for being here. It's always a blessing to have new people come to worship, and thank you for being here. And let us continue to keep our national leadership, our president, vice president, and our Senate and Congress members so that they will make the right decisions for the country as we go forward during this election year as well. Pray for those who are affected by the coronavirus around the world, particularly people in China. A lot of countries are affected, and a lot of people are affected too from the United States, and I believe a group of people full of people from China have been landed in the West Coast yesterday, and they have been quarantined. So please keep that in our prayers so that it will be contained and controlled as soon as possible. I'm glad that Eddie is here today, and we'll keep you in our prayers, Eddie. And Jack, you are in our prayers, and he's going back for his next appointment on Thursday, and let us pray that God's Spirit will guide the doctors and nurses to give him the right treatment program as he can looking forward to the dialysis, right? So pray for him and the doctors who treat him. Are there any other announcements, anything to call out?
They did two stents. She still has the blockage, so they don't know what they're going to do about that. take those. You might have to have that one done later. And my sister will have her surgery on the 11th of February.
Who will have surgery?
My brother's is last month.
Right.
And my sister's having her surgery on February the 11th.
Oh, February. Okay, that's good. And your brother's name?
Harold.
Harold, yeah. Okay.
And he's doing okay. He's a bit depressed.
Okay. Any others?
I want to ask that. You might think it's silly, but it's important to me. My son is a diesel mechanic, and he's having a little problem, puzzling vehicle, and pray for him and his intellectual ability, the owner of the vehicle, I might physically go there and lay hands on that vehicle, but anyway, it's stumped him a little bit.
Did he have an interview this past week?
Ben.
He had an interview? Or?
No, that was my other son, Alan.
Alan, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He did have the interview.
Okay.
So, we don't know anything for certain yet on that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll pray for the way to turn out to be good. Okay, we pray for that. There's nothing that is too little for God. There's nothing too great for God either. God is a God of possibilities. So that's what we believe, and that's what He is. And He will make a way when there is no way. And let us go to God in prayer. And let's take a few moments in silence to bring our unspoken prayers as well. And then I will close with a summarized prayer. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? If God clothes the grass of the field beautifully, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O people of little faith?" Loving God, we thank You for this time You have given us to come together and share our concerns and blessings together. We thank You for all the many blessings that You give us every day in our lives. Thank You for the gift of life and the joys and the blessings that come with it. Even when we don't deserve, You give us all things that we need. Thank You for covering us with Your love and protection every day. At the same time, we have burdens and concerns that worry us, O Lord, and we bring those things up to You. You are the source of all good things, and You desire only good things for us. And we seek Your presence, and we seek answers from You when we can't find answers. Particularly, we lift all of those people who have named, that we have named during our prayer time earlier today, Lord. We particularly pray for Martha, as she's waiting for her chemo treatment. Give the doctors and the nurses the right guidance that they can schedule her treatment and start her treatment soon. Bless her with Your peace. Comfort the family with Your presence, Lord. We pray for my mom as she is recovering from her surgery, and thank You for the recovery that You have given her. Bless her to get up soon and to do things on her own, and be with her also and the people who care for her. We pray for Lou, Miss Lou, as she has her surgery with her eyes and recovering. Heal her, Lord, according to Your time, and bless her with Your presence and peace. We pray for Kathy Wigley as she has an infection she is fighting, and also Bob, they could not make it today. Bless them, Lord, with Your presence. We pray for the Marcus family as they are struggling with the flu virus. We pray that You bless and heal them, Lord, and also be with them. And we pray for Penny's son's work at this time, Lord. We pray that you will bless them with your special blessing, that work will be stable, and continue to guide them with your guidance, the Holy Spirit. We pray for Margaret's brother, Harold, as he's passed the surgery. Bless them, bless him with the healing, and also her sister for scheduled surgery coming up, and give them the guidance to continue with the treatment. We pray for all of those people who are affected by the coronavirus around the world, particularly in China. We pray that you will bless the right solution for the issue so that they can be, it can be contained as soon as possible. We pray for all those people who are fighting in various ways this particular disease through research and relief work in many parts of the world. Bless them, Lord, with your powerful presence, and guide them with the Holy Spirit, that the work will be effective in containing this particular disease at this time. We also pray for our national leadership, particularly our President and Vice President, as we face a new election year. Give the leaders the guidance and the Spirit's wisdom to follow your path, that we will continue to be a nation of freedom and liberty and Christian witness to this world. Bless us today as we continue our worship and our communion, that it will be a blessing in our life and also to this world through our lives. As we take part in the worship and the communion today, we pray that your special blessing be upon each and every one of us, and touch and bless us according to our needs and our heart's desires. And may all of these services that we do here bring honor and glory to your name. As we continue with our service, we pray all of these prayers in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward for taking up the offering. Stand for the doxology.
Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, He heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. O most merciful and gracious God, you are the source of every good and perfect gift. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers and presents and gifts and service to support the ministry and the mission of your church in this world. We ask you to accept this offering of your people. We thank you for those who were able to give, and pray for those who could not give today as well, Lord. Remember all of them in your love. And bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In the name of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 through 12.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us to be our life and spirit. As we meditate on your word, we pray that you open our hearts and minds so that we can receive your word. Give us a humble spirit and obedient spirit, Lord. Whatever you teach us, help us to be obedient to that word that you teach us, Lord. Illumine our souls that will be brightened by your word and become powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this chapter that we just read, the passage, is from the chapter 5 of the Gospel according to Matthew, where we read about the blessedness of a person of faith. If we read, generally this is called the Beatitudes. And next week we will be continuing with the lesson from verses 13 through 16, where Jesus talks about being the light and salt to this world. So the Beatitudes are the teachings of Jesus Christ. We also call it the Sermon on the Mount. When the people gathered around him, he taught about the kingdom of God and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God and what it means to be blessed as people of the kingdom of God. And whenever we are faced with a question about our faith, for example, if somebody asks you, why are you a Christian? Or why do you go to a Methodist church? Do you have an answer? I always suggest that we need to have an answer like an elevator speech. You know, the elevator answer. When somebody meets you in the elevator and they ask you a question, you don't have much time to explain a lot of things. So we have to have an abbreviated answer ready about our faith. Why are you a Christian? Have you ever thought about it? If not, think about it and have an answer for it. We are Christians, or we go to a Methodist church, for a reason that we have chosen to do. It is not just a a practice without a reason. So it is important that we think about why we decided to follow Jesus as people of faith. The fact is, every person will have a different answer, I'm sure. A different reason or a different story from the Bible why you decided to follow Jesus. Many may say that because of the family we were born into, the practice that we followed the same faith and we go to the same church. But at some point in our lives, it became more than that. And each of us made a personal decision to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why we go to church regularly, not just to be there or to make it as a ritual, but to worship God together because we are the followers of Christ. And we try to take others to church because of that. I read that a story that in a church, Mrs. Scott was fumbling in her purse for her offering when a large television remote fell out of her purse into the middle of the sanctuary. People all got attention to that as a large TV remote. And some of them, as she came to retrieve it, somebody asked her, "Do you always carry your TV remote to the church?" "No," she replied, but she said, "My husband refused to come to church with this morning, and I figured this was the most evil thing I could do him legally." We try to get people to church some way or other, and if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you want to go to church. It is not that somebody has to push you to go to church. You want to go to church with people of faith, to worship together, to have that fellowship, to worship together. That is what we are, why we are here. But just going to church does not make you a Christian either. Every Sunday, like people say that going to McDonald's every day would not make you a hamburger, would that be Eddie? Eddie goes to McDonald's every day. It does not make you a hamburger. Like also living in a garage does not make you a car, right? Just going to church does not make you a Christian. So we know that also. Jesus teaches here in this Beatitudes about the character of a person of faith in Jesus Christ. And it is not the usual things that we see. He is saying that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for that they are comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, and they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these are the eight items of blessedness that Jesus talks about, which are not common in this world that as we used to hearing. So these are the Beatitudes. And then he goes on to say that you are the salt of the earth. And then you're saying also that you are the light of the world. Those are called similitudes. So Jesus teaches the Beatitudes or the blessedness. And then he is going to say and tell us about becoming what you are the similitudes. You are to become the light of the world and the salt of the world. That means about living a life with experience of character. So if we put the Beatitudes together with the similitudes, we can see that out of our character emerges influence. The salt and light makes an influence wherever they are. The light will brighten the place where it is, and the salt will make a difference in the taste where it is added. So that is what we are to do as people of faith, not to follow a set of doctrines, but to experience that doctrine, live out that faith, so that we will become influencers in the place, in the society where we are. That's why we are Christians. We believe the experience in our lives of faith, and also we will influence the world which we live in. It is not a blind faith, it is a living faith that we follow. We can influence this world around us. So it's not a set of doctrines, it's about living a life with experience of character and influencing this world with that character. That is what our faith is all about. We are influencers while we are also being influenced. We are being influenced by the Spirit of God when we come to faith. We are also influenced by the believers who have gone before us. We follow a lot of traditions, and that is influencing us also and make us influencers to this world around us. And that's the love of Jesus that we spread to this world, the compassion and the care. That is the reason we follow Christ. We make a difference where we live. I read about a testimony of an Armenian girl who was persecuted by the Turkish during the war and the persecution that happened to the Armenian people by the Turkish army. During that war, they took over the Armenian people, and one of the Turkish officers actually took over this girl and family. And the girl was 20 years old when the Turkish military officer kept her in bondage for his use and his pleasure. And she was raped continuously for 3 years while she was under the bondage. And finally she was able to escape from that bondage, and she was taken to a refugee camp where she was given a life, and she was trained to become a nurse along with a lot of other girls who were trained on different skills. And she was trained on the nursing training, and finally after the training she was given an assignment to work in the military hospital where the prisoners were treated. And she was put on night duty on one day, and wounded officer was taken to that ward that night. And there was a great mystery that happened in horror. The officer that was taken on that night to her ward was the same officer that kept her in bondage and treated her badly for that last 3 years. And she had a choice to make. She writes, "There lay the man who had wrought the ruin of my home, my family, and my life. He was dangerously ill. It would have required no violence, but only just inattention, a pull of his breathing tube to take his life out." She could have made a choice to ensure that he was dead that night. She struggled with that decision for a minute, but she made the right choice to treat him and nurse him back to life, because she knew she followed a Christ who was more compassionate than that. He nursed him back to health again, until the doctors marveled at the recovery that this man made. When that officer recovered and the doctor brought the nurse to his bed and told him that, "But because of this girl's devotion, that you have a life back." And then he opened his eyes and looked at his girl and said, "I think we have met before." And she replied, "Yes, we have met." And she said, "You remember me, I've been with you for the last 3 years under your bondage. I am the same girl." And he said, "Why didn't you kill me? after all of that torture that you had to go through. And this was her answer. Because cruelty cannot be righted by cruelty, nor violence by violence. I am a follower of him who said, love your enemies. And that is my religion. The man lay silent for a long time and then he spoke. I never knew that there was such a religion. If that is your religion, tell me more about it, for I want it. Night after night she cared for him, and finally he became a Christian and committed his life to Jesus Christ. Friends, that is our faith. A faith that is living and working in the place where we are, that we can influence the world that we live in. That is the faith that we are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even when we are poor in spirit, humble, and nothing in front of the world, God can use us to influence this world to make big changes. That is what we believe. In the Beatitudes, Jesus taught that blessed are the poor in spirit, recognizing our desperate need for God. We are totally depraved without God. And the depravity that we feel and we experience are also experienced by the people around us, so that we can lead them to a God who can fill that need in our lives. The only way we can be poor in spirit is to truly believe that God is the only one who can save us, and believe that honestly. That is our faith. And Jesus said he came to proclaim the good news to the poor. In Luke chapter 4 we read that, I came anointed to proclaim good news to the poor in spirit, and also to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. And it is the mission that God has given us, to preach that good news to this world and bring people to this God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The exact reverse of what we used to hear. The world's economic teaches us that profit means success. Success means being rich. In other words, if you are rich, you are blessed. But Jesus tells us, richness in this world doesn't count. But richness toward God is what makes the difference to influence this world. Friends, we look at this world, we see that we spend more, but we have less. We buy more and we enjoy it less. We have bigger houses, but we have small families. We have more conveniences, but less time. We have more college degrees, but less common sense. We have learned how to make a living, but not how to make a life. We have done larger things, but not better things. We build more computers to hold more information, but we communicate less, isn't it? We have more clubs and activities, but people are becoming more and more lonely. That is the greatest poverty. Mother Teresa said one time that loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for are the greatest poverty in this world. Are we getting richer or poorer? In the scripture in the book of Haggai, we read, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are never warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the scripture reads. Are we getting richer or poor? We are all the more poor than ever before, and realize that we are helpless without God. The Beatitude can be rightly paraphrased this way. Blessed are those who genuinely seek God to save from the debt of our souls, so that they will become rich toward God. That is the faith that we are. And that is the faith that we hold on to. That is why I am a Christian. God saved from the death of my soul, from sin and death. As we read, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Through his poverty, we might become rich toward God. If the entire human race were to bankrupt its resources in an effort to buy forgiveness of sin and eternal life, it would not be infinitely, it would be infinitely insufficient. All the wealth of the whole world cannot purchase the forgiveness of God, because God paid the price for our sins through his Son's death on the cross. We read in Philippians chapter 2, this is Jesus, who in the form of God did not consider his position with God, but made himself humble, taking the form of a servant. And he came to this world to the point of taking upon the death on the cross. He had no place to be born. He was homeless with no place to rest his head. But he had accepted all of these things for his people. And he was crucified and died. But he rose from the grave to make me rich toward God by his death. And that's the reason I am a Christian. I have a hope beyond death. As John the disciple observed, "Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known yet. But when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We have a living hope. It is not only an influential faith, but also there is a living hope that he gives us beyond death, that we will be with Christ one day and we will see him as he is. That's why I am a Christian. Today, as we go from this place, think about our faith. A faith that can influence our families and our societies where we live in and change the world upside down like the disciples of Jesus Christ did. They changed history, and we can do that as well. In closing, let me say that wherever you are, remember, we are going to be influencers like salt and light, which I will be preaching next week, to influence the society where we live in and bring the world towards the love of God and Jesus Christ. May this word bless you as we take this communion together as people of faith, a living faith that can influence this culture and world around us. As we go from this place after this communion service, taking part in this, so that we can become more powerful witnesses for that kingdom of God, to share that love, that compassion and that forgiveness that the world needs at this time, to change the world around us. May God bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen. It's our communion time. The United Methodist Church has an open table. All are invited to come and take part in this table. It's the Lord's table and it's not a church table. So all are welcome to come. We also serve communion to the children as well, because children, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." And they're also being served for communion. So please come as the ushers guide you. Let us take part in this communion with a humble heart. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on the earth and all the people and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now the table is open. Please come forward as the ushers direct you. Like I said, all are welcome to come and take part in this Lord's table. We have gluten-free bread as well available for those who have gluten sensitivity. Please come forward as the ushers direct you.
Thank you.
Let us pray and give thanks to God for this Holy Communion. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 407, Close to Thee. If you have any special prayer requests or anything, any reason you want to come and pray at the altar, please come, I'll pray with you. Or if you want to join the church during this hymn, come forward and we will accept you as a member of this church. Please come forward as the Spirit guides you. The closing hymn is 407, Close to Thee. If you are able, please stand. Life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Savior, let me walk with Thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Let me walk with Thee. Lead me through the veil and shadows, bear me on life's fruitful sea. In the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. People of faith, as we depart from this place, go in the knowledge that the power of the Holy Spirit is with you to become influencers of the society and the world which we live in, and to spread that light to this world, the love and compassion of, and care of Jesus Christ to others. May go in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.